Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We see the gladness of the apostles when they see the Lord. And this is, of course, on the day of the resurrection. When they have heard the reports, they've seen the empty tomb, they've heard the reports of the angels who have said, "He is not here, he is risen." And the apostles are gathered together, assembly on the first day of the week. And they're trying to figure things out. And then comes the Lord Jesus and stands in the midst of them. And so now the bright Easter beam on our longing eyes streams, and they see the reality, the goodness, and the gladness of the risen Lord, who says, "Peace be unto you." And we hold fast this gospel lesson because it shows the reality of the Lord's resurrection. He appeared to those chosen after his resurrection, his chosen apostles, and then, well, Thomas isn't there. He comes later. But others he appears to, even 500 at once, and reveals to them his glorified body, physical resurrection, and lets them even see the wounds in his hands and his side. And he eats with them and speaks with them and shows them the reality of the resurrection for 40 days until he ascends up into glory. And so we are now in that beautiful season of Easter time where we too look up and are glad for the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It wasn't too many years ago that we had the solar eclipse, partial solar eclipse in Arizona. And it was really fun, actually. It's when my youngest daughter was attending ASU, so we went down there with my oldest daughter to see the peak of the partial eclipse. And it was festival-like. You had NASA set up a table, they were handing out glasses so you could see through the proper lens the sun moving across the face of the sun, or the moon moving across the face of the sun. And it makes a beautiful little moon-like shadows through the trees. So tomorrow, when the partial eclipse is, take the time to go out during the peak. I think it'll be between 11 and 11:30. And verify that. Trust me, but verify. And then you can make your own little pinhole on a card and see the shadow. You'll see the progress of the moon covering the sun. But if you go in the shade of a tree, you'll also see pinhole shadows by the thousands as the sun filters through the tree. You see little moon shapes all on the ground. It's very beautiful. What I liked most about that time on the campus at ASU was to see people that were looking down, because this is the posture these days, you know. And you say, "Hey, did you know there's a solar eclipse today?" You're like, "What's that?" That's when the moon goes across the face of the sun, and you can actually check it out. Here we show them the glasses, and they really seem to make it. Then they would look up, and they'd go, "Wow!" That was everybody's expression. They'd always go, "Wow!" And that was beautiful to see, right? This lift, and then, "Wow!" And I think that's what Easter is all about. You know, we see that in the natural wonder. And God is full of wonders. He's a wonderful God. He's always there to surprise us with the beauty in his creation as he reaches out to us through beauty. But also, in his very nature, he is revealing who he is through Christ. And that's a big part. This is astounding, what the disciples see. They see it and are glad. They rejoice at the gladness. Now, when he comes into that room, there's confusion, there is there's bewilderment, then there's gladness, there's wonder. And he says to them, "Peace be unto you." And this is the blessing that he brings upon them through the victory that he has won over sin and over death, through the reconciliation he has won with God and man. Now there is the atonement, the at-one-ment, and there is peace now between God and man. And so he announces that peace to them. He has brought the victory, and he announces peace to them. And that becomes the apostolic greeting, for they are to take that to the entire world. And that's what the church does. We announce and proclaim through the certainty of the apostolic witness and ministry and by extension, the priesthood of all believers, we announce that peace to a world that does not have peace. It is in a place of sin and sorrow. And we announce the victory of Christ over sin, the hope of eternal life, and that there is peace now between God and man. And that is a great privilege that we have to share in the ministry. We see Jesus conferring upon the apostles this ministry right away on Easter Day. He commits to the hands of men the ministry of reconciliation and establishes that by the consecration he gives them by the breath of his mouth. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, and they are now commissioned to bring that gospel of peace to the world. And this is to make the world glad. Now we see the gladness that he brings the apostles on Easter Day, and notice that Jesus doesn't waste any time, because he rose to the dead that morning. Then he has personal ministry to attend to, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Then he meets with the ten, because Thomas isn't there, and Judas betrayed him, he's committed suicide. He meets with the ten, and ministers to them, and gives them the apostolic commission. And with that, you see he is applying already the fruits or the benefits of the victory that he has won. Now there will be forgiveness of sins. And there is forgiveness of sins where all these things agree in one. Word, water, and blood. There is the word of God that is established. There is the water of baptism that brings it in the sacramental way to the one who comes into the forgiveness of sins through baptism, where they're washed completely of original sin. And then there is also the testimony that's won by his blood, then there's the water of baptism. And there is now also the remedy for post-baptismal sin. What is post-baptismal sin? Those sins that are committed after baptism. When a person is washed clean, and then as they live in a world that's full of muck and mire and dust and pollution, they get slimed, they have to get clean again. And so how do they do that? They repent of their sins, and now they are forgiven anew. We trust as a church and proclaim the forgiveness of sins. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. It's etched into the creed. That is who we are as Christians. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. And so when we are slimed by our own actions, when we fall into sin and offended God, with having followed the word of the world, the flesh, and the devil, then we come to repent of our sins by the grace of God moving in us, that we may be cleansed and renewed. And we trust that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from the first epistle of John. We trust in that. He will forgive. And if we are stuck and cannot be convinced of the forgiveness that is truly ours, as those who follow Christ, then we need to seek the remedy of pastoral assistance. And we can do that in our tradition through the sacrament of confession. And this is auricular confession, where a priest assists us in our repentance prayer. So we're standing in the audience of another. And that prayer that is spoken now is very effective, because when you name the sin, it loses its power. And the enemy loses a foothold or a handhold on us, and we become liberated in a new way. And it's not the priest forgiving sin, it is the high priest forgiving sin, Jesus himself, who is mediating that great victory that he has won to the soul of the sinner. And the priest is there to facilitate repentance prayer and then to grant absolution as part of his ministry. The efficacy of this of the confessional is very well known. I can attest to it. It was the ground of my conversion. And I have, through the years, heard hundreds of confessions, and I will tell you, it is life-changing. And so I recommend it to you if you've never made a sacramental confession. You have a demarcation point here, like catharsis, where on this day, this holy place, you make confession. Then the enemy doesn't have the same approach. He's trying to accuse us of our former sins. We're like, well, already dealt with that. I receive forgiveness, confess it, receive forgiveness, and God remembers it no more, I remember it no more. And this is a beautiful way to live. It is the gladness that is truly ours as those who may be once sorrowful, but then are lifted up by the ministry of Christ, renewed, restored, that we can live life in a joyful way again. The tyranny of sin is that it destroys our Easter joy. Right? Easter triumph, Easter joy, this alone can sin destroy. So the tyranny of sin is that it wrecks our Easter joy. Ah, but the beauty of Easter is it overwhelms sin. And through our repentance and reception of the grace of absolution, forgiveness and absolution, we can be restored to the joy of baptismal grace and renewed and washed in all that slime washed away. We're renewed by the grace and power of God. So we see Jesus right at work doing this, applying the ministry immediately on the day of his resurrection, that we might come out of darkness into the light, out of sin into the gladness of the new life. Let us not look down in a sorrowful way, but look up, like those people on the day of the solar eclipse. You know, wow, this is great. I had a friend of mine who once was at a retreat, and he told me about his experience in the confessional. It was a beautiful retreat house in the redwoods of California up near the Russian River, and there was a little chapel that had been built by pious people in the 4th century before. Beautiful little place. And he made a confession on the evening, one of the evenings of the retreat. And it had started to rain outside. And so while he was making his confession, it was raining. And when he finished his confession, he was very moved by contrition. It brought tears of sorrow to him. And these are holy tears. When we weep tears of contrition, we are weeping tears that cleanse the soul. So he had that experience, the gift of tears, a movement of the Holy Spirit, consolation, grace given in the context of the sacramental confession. And he said as he came out of this little beautiful redwood chapel into the redwood forest, he couldn't help but look up, because the trees just, you know, you look at the tree and you kind of, they naturally go, it's like a cathedral, you know, it pulls your eyes upward. And so he looked up and he could see through the canopy of the trees, the clouds were breaking off to the east, and there was a little opening. He could see the starlight coming through the clouds, and he could see the starlight. And as he looked up, he brought his face upwards, and rain was still coming down, and light pattered upon his face, mingling with his tears and washing him anew. And then the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.